Gabriel, you know how I hate asking you for money.
Well, you've done it often enough, and I'd have thought that begging for it was closer to the mark.
Jack, why can't you earn a decent wage? Why don't you send those idle children of yours off to work?
But they've tried to.
Preposterous, the way you all live. Butlers and cars and doing the season when you haven't a penny between you.
We may have drivelled money away, Gabriel, I grant you that, but we've gained something with it. Imogen and the children have gaiety and warmth of heart and loving kindness and charm.
Charm? Any low-down blackmailer has charm? Yeah, and where's this loving kindness you talk about when it comes to letting down your creditors?
If it hadn't been for that, nothing would have induced me to ask for your help.
And you're not going to get it. You can drag yourself and your fool of a wife and your precious brood through the bankruptcy court. And if it wasn't for the entail, I'd see to it that you didn't get a penny of the Lamprey money when I die. As it is, I shall do my best to cut you out of as much of it as I can.
Oh, my God, Gabriel! I wish there was some way I could cut you out for good.
Oh, I've had as much as I'm going to take from you. Violet! Violet! We're leaving at once!
We present Jeremy Clyde as Chief Detective Inspector Allen in A Surfeit of Lampreys by Nio Marsh.
Coming back up. What the devil's going on?
Gabriel! Oh, my God, the poor fellow. Robin, for God's sake, get the children away. Henry, ring for a doctor as quick as you can, and I think you'd better contact the police.
Oh, Bathgate, my dear chap. Look, I don't have a second. Something rather urgent's come up.
I know, that's why I'm here.
What do you mean by that?
The murder of the Marquis of Wetherwood.
Well, he was still living, the last I heard of it. How on earth did you get the news?
Frid telephoned me.
Frid?
Frida Lamprey. She thought it might be a bit of a scoop for me, and that if I were there, it might keep the other news hounds at bay. You will let me come along, won't you?
This Frid is the daughter of Lord Charles Lamprey, I take it?
Yes, she's quite a character.
And Lord Wetherwood is Lord Charles's elder brother? And he and his wife were on a visit to the Lampreys when he met with his accident.
Yes, that's right.
The Lampreys are old friends of yours, I imagine.
I've known them all my life. They're as mad as mayflies and utterly enchanting. And they have such charm. The Lamprey charm is a byword.
I shall brace myself for it.
They don't live in the real world at all. It's all dressing up and mad parties and family jokes. According to Frid, they even tried to entertain Lord Wetherwood with one of their charades this afternoon.
Might jolly your Uncle Gabriel up a bit. Put him in a more receptive frame of mind.
How about Lady Godiva? You could be the palfrey, Henry. Daddy, the horrible husband, and one of the twins could play Peeping Tom.
If you think I'm going to curvet around the room with you sitting on my back in the new...
Your hair's not long enough, dear. Uncle Gabriel would be horrified.
So, what did they come up with?
The story of Jael, I believe.
Jael? But the girl in the Bible...
Who was Jael, anyway?
She hammered a nail through Sisera's head. Vengeance is mine!
But Lord Wetherwood was injured by a skewer being driven into his eye, wasn't he?
Yes, it was the same skewer, the one they used in the charade.
How excessively macabre.
Will he live, do you think, Charles?
It doesn't seem possible.
And if he dies?
It seems that if Gabriel dies... He would have been murdered.
What will happen, do you think?
Well, the police will be here soon. We must leave it to them.
So, what do we tell them?
Well, none of us tried to kill him, so I suppose we simply tell the truth, don't we?
Of course, we tell them the truth.
I think you'd better give me a synopsis of the Lampreys, Bathgate. We have, I take it, Lord Charles and his wife.
Lady Imogen, but everyone calls her Charlotte.
And the children?
There are five of them. There's Henry, he's the eldest. He's always on the verge of taking a job, but somehow he never manages to get round to it. And then there's Frida.
Commonly known as Frid.
Yes. She's training to be an actress, and she's just a touch histrionic. And then there are the twins, Colin and Stephen. They're absolutely identical. It's really difficult knowing which is which. And then there's young Michael. His great passion is Hornby trains.
And what about Gabriel's wife, Lady Wotherwood? She's still in the Lamprey's flat, I take it.
Yes. I gather she's lying down somewhere or other, being looked after by her faithful maid. Her ladyship's a distinctly odd bird, to put it mildly. Hungarian, I think, with some frightfully unpronounceable name. Her husband gave up trying to get his tongue round it and decided she should be called Violet. They have the most almighty rows and are always on the verge of breaking up, but somehow they stagger on. She's got particularly odd of late, taken up witchcraft and black magic and all that sort of thing.
It all sounds like the most frightful nightmare. Skewers and charades and broomsticks. And poor old Fox will be in the thick of it by now, trying to take down Lord Wotherwood's last words. Always supposing there are any.
Is he going, do you think?
It looks like it, sir. Do you want to tell us how you were hurt, sir? Perhaps he might respond better to you, my lord.
Gabriel, do you know me?
Will you ask him who attacked him, my lord?
Oh, it seems so horrible now.
But he might manage to answer you.
Gabriel, do you know who did this to you? He's gone.
Yeah. So now, it's murder.
We must be nearly there. Cadogan Gardens, isn't it?
Yes. Pleasance Court Mansions. Their flat occupies the whole of the top floor.
My darling, just one word before Mr. Allen gets here. I think we would be well advised not to reveal the reason for Gabriel's visit. It would hardly present us in a very favourable light.
Nigel, thank goodness you've come.
We thought that if we were going to be a core celeb, you might as well get in on it first.
I'm grateful for the tip-off, Fred, but I don't know whether this is
Mr.
the...
Mr. Allen, I'm Charles Lapp.
But aren't you Lord Wotherwood, now that Uncle Gabriel's...
I don't think we need complicated things. Mr. Allen, this is my daughter, Frida.
How do you do?
And my son, Henry.
Who is now Lord Roon.
Perhaps you'd care to come into the drawing room. Yes. These are my twin sons, Stephen and Colin.
How do you do?
My youngest, Michael, has been packed off to bed. My wife will be with us in a moment. Oh, I do beg your pardon, Robert. I should have introduced you. This is Roberta Gray, a very good friend of ours from New Zealand.
I've only just arrived in England.
And you walk straight into a murder.
Yes, it's all a bit bewildering.
It's bewildering for all of us, Mr. Allen. I'm afraid we're all rather shaken and confused by what's happened.
Yes, it must have been a very grave shock. I shall do my best to get through my investigation as quickly as possible, Lord Charles, but I'm afraid that even so it will be a long and unavoidably distressing business.
So what's going to happen, exactly?
Well, first of all, I want to get a coherent account of the events preceding the moment when Lord Wotherwood entered the lift. I think I should tell you that according to the commissionaire downstairs, it appears that no strangers came up here at all this afternoon or this evening. So you will see that under the circumstances...
You mean whoever did it must be someone in this flat?
Yes. I only stress this point to make it clear to you that we must have a very accurate picture of everyone's movements. At the moment, we lack Lady Wotherwood and your wife, Lord Charles.
I'll go and get Lady Charles, shall I?
If you would be so kind, Miss Grey.
What about Aunt Kit? Where's she got to?
Aunt Kit? You mean somebody else?
I must admit I'd completely forgotten about Aunt Kit.
She must have opted off somewhere.
It's my aunt, Lady Catherine Lode. She was here with us this afternoon, but this dreadful business put her out of my mind.
Lady Charles is here now. We bumped into one another in the hall.
Please forgive me for keeping you waiting, Mr. Allen. I'm afraid I simply can't move my sister-in-law.
She must come, Mimi.
Oh, Charlie, darling, if you saw her, I mean, honestly.
Can't Tinkerton do something?
She's no help at all. She simply says her mistress must not be moved.
Tinkerton is her ladyship's maid, I take it?
Yes, she's been with her for centuries.
We'll carry on as best as we can for the present. I've been over the sequence of events with Inspector Fox, and this is what seems to have happened. Lord Charles Lamprey and Lord Wotherwood were here together in the drawing room until about 7:10. Lord Wotherwood decided to leave and went out of the room, making for the lift. I understand you didn't go with your brother, sir?
No, we said goodbye in here.
Lord Wotherwood's chauffeur...
Giggle.
I'm sorry?
Giggle. His name is Giggle.
Yes.
Well, he says he heard Lord Wutherwood call loudly for Lady Wutherwood. Did any of you hear him?
Oh, it was difficult not to. Gabriel always shouted like that for people.
And where were you, please, Lady Charles?
In my bedroom.
Were you alone?
No, my sister-in-law was with me.
And did Lady Wutherwood join her husband straight away?
No. She said she'd like to go to the bathroom. She was in there for rather a long time, and Gabriel shouted again for her. Mm. When she did eventually emerge, I remembered that Gabriel didn't like working the lift himself, and nor did Violet. I asked one of the twins to take them down. I didn't notice which.
Which of you was it?
It was me.
You mean you both went down?
I went down, sir.
If you imagine Chief Detective Inspector Allen is going to be fooled by a childish trick like
this... I went down. Shut up, I did.
Did any of the rest of you notice which twin remained here and which went down with the Wutherwoods in the lift? No? Then we'll go on. Where were the rest of you at this time?
I was in Mother's bedroom.
Miss Gray?
I was in the dining room.
Right. So what we need to establish now is the condition of Lord Wutherwood when Lady Wutherwood, and whichever twin it was, stepped into the lift. But since her ladyship is indisposed, and since both young gentlemen insist that they went down with her, we are at something of an impasse. Under these circumstances, I would like to speak to Lord Wutherwood's chauffeur.
Giggle.
He's in the staff's sitting room. I'll get him for you.
Thank you, Stephen.
Don't trouble yourself. I'll stroll down there and have a word with him.
Any progress, Mr. Allen?
Nothing to speak of, Brer Fox. Questioning lampreys is like trying to grasp handfuls of wet sand that just slide through your fingers. Mm. However, I have discovered one useful fact.
What's that, sir?
The twin called Stephen has a slight stammer and a mole behind his left ear. Shouldn't be too much of a problem putting an end to their little game. Let's hope that Mr. Giggle will prove a little more cooperative.
Well, sir, it was like this. I'd been helping Master Michael with his Hornby train. He was having a bit of trouble with the bogies.
Yes, please go on, Giggle.
And then I heard his lordship calling out for her ladyship, so I got my coat and cap from here and went off down the stairs.
And was anyone with you?
Master Michael came as far as the landing.
Hmm. Where was Lord Wutherwood?
His lordship was in the lift, sir.
Were the doors open or shut?
I think they were shut, sir.
Did his lordship speak to you?
He told me to go down to the car, sir.
So you walked down by the stairs?
Yes, sir.
And did you meet anyone on the way?
I did pass the commissionaire in the hall, sir.
Did you speak to him?
I just mentioned his lordship seemed to be in a bit of a hurry, sir.
And how long were you waiting in the car?
Well, I couldn't rightly say. After a bit, Miss Tinkerton came down and joined me.
Her ladyship's maid?
Yes, sir. Mm. And then the young lady, Miss Gray, I think it is, came to fetch us up again, sir.
Thank you, Giggle. I think that'll be all, for the time being, at least.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
I don't think any useful purpose can be served by keeping you all together any longer, though I'm afraid I must ask you to remain in the flat. Lady Charles, I'm sorry, but I would like to have a word with your son, Michael, if it's possible.
Oh, I've no objection, Mr. Allen, but Nanny will have a fit waking him at this hour.
I don't think you need worry, Mummy. When I last looked in, he'd got out that magnifying glass you gave him for Christmas. He said he was going to do some detective work.
Well, perhaps I'd better go and explain to him what it's all about. I'll bring him to you.
I'm sure that won't be necessary, Lady Charles. I wouldn't want to put you to any trouble. Perhaps, though, Nanny could be on hand while I have a word with the boy in his bedroom.
I'm sure Mr. Allen will be very considerate in me.
I'm sure he will, and Mike will be only too thrilled.
I don't imagine I shall be very long.
When you've met Mike, Mr. Allen, you'll realise that no one on earth could prime him with any story.
Don't be an ass, Fred. What you may not realise is that Mike is the most accomplished little liar. He'll think he's telling the truth, but if an agreeably dramatic invention occurs to him, he'll use it.
How old is Mike?
9.
Do you know that in the police courts we regard small boys between the ages of 8 and 14 as ideal witnesses? They're almost top of the list.
Really? And what type of witnesses do you regard as the bottom of the list?
Oh, young people of both sexes between the ages of 16 and 26.
Why?
Well, the textbooks say that they're generally rather unobservant. Too much absorbed in themselves and in their own reactions. I'll collect Nanny on my way, Lady Charles.
And that puts us very firmly in our place. I don't think the Lamprey repertoire of tricks and surprises is going to cut much ice with handsome Alan.
So that's where you've got to, Bathgate. I've got a bone to pick with you.
What do you mean? I haven't done a thing since we got here.
What's all this Handsome Alan business?
I don't follow you.
It was in an article you contributed to True Detective magazine.
But damn it, Alan. It was meant to be a kind of joke. How did you find out about that?
Master Michael told me.
I might have known it would have been him. He's too smart for his own good. Did you get anything interesting out of him?
It all went swimmingly to start with. He was all too eager to play detectives, going through everything he remembered in minute detail.
Anything of any consequence?
Well, yes, there was one thing. He remembered seeing the murder weapon.
The skewer?
It had been left on the table outside the drawing room after the charade, but it wasn't there when Gabriel got into the lift. Mike noticed because he was saying goodbye to Giggle. He worships Giggle because he knows all about Hornby trains.
Anything else?
Yeah, after that, it all started to go badly wrong. He kept on saying that Uncle G was in a terrible stink about something, but when I asked him if he knew why, Nanny stepped in very smartly and said he mustn't talk about things like that without asking his parents first. I thought I could nip that one in the bud by sending the constable off to fetch Lord Charles, but by the time his lordship arrived, the boy had worked himself up into the most terrific frenzy of rage.
Yes, in certain circumstances, the Lampreys are rather inclined to go off the deep end.
He was screaming that Nanny was treating him like a damn silly kid when he was trying to help Scotland Yard, and that was when I committed my great gaffe.
How come?
Like a blasted idiot, I told him he'd never make a policeman if he couldn't keep his temper. And at that, he pulled his bedclothes over his head, turned his face to the wall, and refused to speak another word. What could he have been wanting to tell me, do you think?
I've no idea.
I fancy you have every idea. Master Michael did happen to drop the name of Mr. Grimble.
Grimble? Who's Grimble?
Again, I think you know very well, Bathgate. It isn't a good idea for you to run with a hare and hunt with the hounds. I'll lay you 100 to 1 that Mr. Grimble, who sits in a corner of the kitchen, impassively still reading his morning paper, is a bailiff. And from there, it's not difficult to work out why Uncle Gabriel was in such a stink.
Shh! Someone's coming up the stairs.
91, 92, 93.
Who on earth is it?
94.
I think there's only one person it can be.
Such a long, exhausting climb. The lift doesn't seem to be... Oh, I do beg your pardon. I thought for a moment you were my nephew.
Lady Catherine.
Speak up. I can't hear you, young man.
Lady Catherine, I wonder if I might have a word with you.
Yeah. Oh, surely you're not the police. Oh, it can't have come to that. Not already.
Now, where can I take the old lady? Somewhere I shan't be disturbed by the rest of the family.
Well, there's only one place you can be sure of that. Inside the lift.
This case grows more macabre every minute. How the devil am I to get her in there?
After all those stairs, she'll be only too grateful to sit down anywhere.
Yeah, I think you're right. Now, this time, you're on your honour, Bathgate. Not a word to the Lampreys.
Too distressing. Oh, my poor nephew.
How did you come to hear about it?
He told me all about it this afternoon.
What? Who told you?
So very sad.
Lady Catherine, who told you what?
Why, my nephew, Lord Charles Lamprey. Oh, I do hope the police will not be too severe.
What did he tell you?
About my nephew Gabriel and himself. I was so terrified it would come to this.
To what?
Even now, I still hope that Gabriel may soften.
Then you do not know.
What did you say?
He's dead.
Oh, no. No, no. You didn't say dead, did you? I mean, I don't hear very well. And I thought... Please, tell me it isn't so.
I'm afraid it is. He's dead.
Oh, how terrible. And such a grave sin if he laid hands on himself. Poor Emmy. And what will become of the children?
Oh, good God. Not Lord Charles. Lord Wotherwood. Lord Wotherwood is dead.
Gabriel is dead?
Yes. Gabriel is dead.
Then I needn't have gone to all this trouble.
What trouble?
Why is Mr. Alan yelling like that?
He's been doing it for ages.
He sounds as if he's shouting at someone downstairs.
Or at someone deaf.
Well, surely it can't be Aunt Kit.
Really, Immy, why should Aunt Kit come back at this hour?
Everything's so odd that I wouldn't consider the return of Aunt Kit at midnight at all surprising.
Good God, it is Aunt Kit.
Immy, darling.
Oh, Aunt Kit, where on earth have you been?
Oh, to Hampstead, by tube and bus. I should have returned sooner, but I caught the wrong bus when Mr. Nathan took such a long time.
And who is Mr. Nathan?
Mr. Isidore Zed Nathan, Charles. His shop was closed by the time I got there. It took simply ages to find out his home address.
You don't mean Uncle Izzy from the pop shop?
What, dear?
The pawnbroker in Admiral Street.
Well, I'd often thought of doing it before, but I always imagined my ma might not have approved. But you are family, after all. You can always redeem them.
Aunt Kit, are you talking about great Aunt Caroline's pearls?
Such luck that I always wear them. I asked Mr. Nathan to make the check out to you. Well, after what Gabriel said, I knew he would never,
Aunt
ever...
Aunt Kit, did you tell Mr. Allen about all this?
Oh, yes.
Oh, Lord.
Well, surely he can't suspect that any of you... Oh, he seemed such a gentleman.
Darling, did you tell him we asked Gabriel for 2,000?
Well, I didn't exactly say how much. Now, that would hardly have been proper.
What was that? Listen. It's a lift. I thought the police had disconnected it.
Excuse me, my lord. I'm sorry to intrude, but Mr. Allen asked me to tell you that they're taking away the body of Lord Wotherwood.
Thank you, Inspector.
Very good.
Poor old Gabriel. You never knew him when he was young, Emmy.
Sadly, I didn't.
We were such close friends when we were boys. It seemed such a queer thing for him to go away from us like this.
I'm sorry to disturb you again, my lord, but it's Lady Wotherwood.
Charles! Charles!
What is it, Violet? What's the matter?
I must see Chief Policeman at once.
Are you feeling a little better?
Go away! I do not wish to speak to you. I wish to speak to Chief Policeman. They have taken away my husband's body. I must have it back.
I will arrange for your husband's remains to be brought back to your house in Brummell Street, Lady Wotherwood, as soon as the post-mortem has been carried out.
Post-mortem? What will they do to him? Will they do dreadful things?
Well, the surgeon will have to examine his injuries.
Before they bring him into the house, tell them they must cover his face with something heavy and thick. Close down his eyes. The eyes of the dead can see where those of the living are blind. Otherwise, how could they find their way, as they do, into strange houses?
I will see to it that Lord Wotherwood's eyes are covered.
Now, it must be understood that I will not be touched or followed. I warn you that there is a great peril in wait for anyone who tries to get in my way. I have a very powerful friend who guards me well.
Nevertheless, Lady Wotherwood, the circumstances of your husband's death oblige me to make very close inquiries.
You had better be careful. My husband died because he offended against one greater than himself. I have not been told by whose agency he died, but I know the force that killed him.
Lady Wotherwood, who took you down in the lift?
It seemed to be one of the nephews.
Seemed?
Seemed.
Lady Wotherwood, do you think it possible that somebody impersonated one of the twin brothers? Was there any recognizable mark?
Yes.
On the back of his neck?
I saw it.
Just here?
Yes. It was a sign. He does that sometimes.
Who?
The little master.
Ah, the little master.
Yes.
Do you think the attack on your husband happened before you reached the lift?
He sat huddled in the corner, not speaking. I knew he was angry. He had called for me in an angry voice. He had no right to treat me as he did. I warned him of his peril. I told him Nebiros would do my bidding.
Did you speak to him when you went to the lift?
Why should I speak to him? His hat was over his eyes. I thought he was asleep.
And when did you first notice that something was wrong?
When the lift was about halfway down. I tried to rouse him. He fell forward.
And there he was, with that thing in his eye, and a red ribbon of blood running down his face. His mouth was wide open, and I opened my mouth like his, and I screamed and screamed.
So what was all that about?
Oh, it's so damn preposterous that I hardly dare to think I'm on the right track. If I am, it appears that Lady Wutherwood believes her husband was destroyed by a demon.
Well, that wouldn't go down very well at the Old Bailey, sir.
Do you think she might have killed him herself?
Oh, we can't rule it out. In fact, there's precious little we can rule out. We know the Lampreys are in deep water and had hopes of extracting a large sum of money from the victim. We know that they used the skewer in their charade and that it was lying on the hall table at the time Lord Wutherwood stormed out of the drawing room. What's so infuriating is that any of the Lampreys could have grabbed that skewer, nipped across to the lift and done the dirty deed. And if it's one of the Lampreys, all the others will lie like flatfish to save his or her mutton.
All for one and one for all, so to speak.
Well, at least I now know which of the twins went down with the Wutherwoods in the lift. But before I settle their hash, I think I'd like a word with Mr. Bathgate.
Ah, he was in the kitchen when I last saw him, sir. I'll get him.
Making any progress?
Well, after talking to her ladyship, I really don't know whether I'm coming or going. I wish I could be certain that it isn't all just a very clever performance that she's putting on.
She's a bit eccentric, certainly. I could hear her from the other end of the hallway.
Eccentric as a rabbit on skates. That doesn't necessarily mean she's technically balmy.
She's had a couple of spells in a nursing home, of course.
Has she now? That maid of hers?
Tinkerton.
Has she been with her for some time?
For as long as I can remember. She's probably the one person who really knows her.
What kind of woman is she?
She isn't any kind of person, really. She has a permanent expression as if she disapproved of everything and everybody, as if the world wasn't quite nice.
Hardly sounds very promising, but I'd better have her in.
I was in the servant's sitting room when I heard Lord Wutherwood call out for her ladyship. When I reached the landing, I noticed his lordship sitting in the lift. Mr. Giggle had already started down the stairs, and I followed after him.
And you're positive you saw no one else?
No one.
Did Lord and Lady Wutherwood often pay visits to this flat?
No, sir, not very often. We came up from Deepacres for this particular occasion.
Yeah, that's the family home in Kent.
Yes.
And do you know why this visit was undertaken?
His lordship had a telegram yesterday from Lord Charles.
Have you any idea why he wanted to see his brother?
Well, from what little I heard on the drive up, it was a business visit. I did not listen, of course.
Of course not.
But his lordship raised his voice once or twice and said that he would not do something his brother wanted him to do.
And what was that? Do you know?
The usual thing. Expecting his lordship to come to his rescue again.
You know, of course, that Lord Wutherwood had been murdered?
Everyone is saying so, sir.
And do you know how he was murdered?
Someone stuck a skewer in his eye.
And have you any idea who did it?
I don't know. I don't know anything about it.
Well, you know he must have been killed by someone in this flat.
So they say. But it wasn't me. I told you I was downstairs when it all happened. Ask Mr. Giggle, he'll tell you.
How long have you been with Lady Wutherwood?
15 years. She's always been very kind to me.
And generous?
Very generous.
Have you noticed any change in your mistress of late?
No, sir, I can't say I have.
No signs of instability?
Oh, no, sir.
And her interest in black magic and such like, how long has this been going on?
I know nothing about that, sir.
Yeah, but you say you've been with her for 15 years. Surely
I won't talk about my lady. She's frightened and she's ill and shaking. It's not my place to answer questions about her.
All right. We'll leave it at that. But before you go, I want you to mark on this plan your exact position when you saw Lord Wutherwood in the lift.
I was standing about here, sir.
Thank you, Miss Tinkerton. Good night.
Good night, sir.
Good night, Miss Tinkerton.
Good night.
Well, at least she's out of it. That's one off the list.
Because she's left-handed, you mean? Yes, I don't think she's faking it.
That skewer could only have been driven in with the right hand.
She may be an accessory after the fact, of course. She certainly clammed up when I questioned her about her ladyship. And there's another thing. She couldn't have seen Lord Wutherwood if the lift door was closed.
Yes.
Would you care to see the twins now, Mr. Allen?
I wouldn't care to see them at all, Fox. But I fear I have no alternative.
Right. I'll wheel them in.
You see, you are not absolutely identical. The distance between the outer corner of the left eye and the left-hand corner of the mouth is not precisely the same. And you, Stephen, there's the mole on the back of your neck. Lady Wotherwood noticed it in the lift. So you see, Colin, it'll be rather foolish of you to persist in saying that it was you who took her down. The law is not very amiable about false statements.
I think you're just trying to bamboozle us, Mr. Allen. I can't believe that Aunt V would have noticed.
Do pipe down, Colin. It's no go. I didn't kill Uncle Gabriel, but I did take him and Aunt V down in the lift. Don't commit any more perjury, Cole.
Very well. It's not exactly a new stunt, Mr. Allen. It's a trick we've played for years, whenever there was a really major row brewing.
So what did you do?
I went into the drawing room with Henry to talk to Father.
This was after Lord Wotherwood had gone off to the lift?
Yes.
So what did you talk about?
I didn't. I looked at Punch.
And what did they talk about?
I didn't notice. Oh, yes. Henry said something about Uncle G saying that Aunt V's maid had debauched Giggle.
And that's all you remember?
Yes.
Very well. So, Stephen, tell me about the lift.
Uncle G was sitting in there with the doors shut.
And who opened them?
I did. Aunt V was sort of hovering about on the landing. When I opened the doors, she tacked over and floated in. So I simply took the lift down.
And you didn't notice anything unusual about Lord Wotherwood?
I couldn't really see him. Aunt V was standing between us. He was sitting in the corner with his coat pulled up and his hat pulled down. I thought he was sulking.
Why should he do that?
He was a sulky sort of man.
And then?
About halfway down, Aunt V started screaming, and then I saw him properly. The skewer was sticking out of his eye, and he was making noises like an animal.
Before Lady Wotherwood started screaming, which way were you facing?
Towards the lift door.
Did you hear any kind of movement behind you?
No, nothing.
Not any kind of thud?
If I did, I don't remember it.
So, which one of us does he think did it, Nigel?
Fred, you really
Well,
can't...
after all, we know it's pretty serious.
If you'll take my advice, don't get up to any silly tricks. He's certain to see through them.
He saw through ours, all right.
I think he's rather frightened. I think he's absolutely gorgeous. I wish he'd send for me.
I suppose you think you're going to have a nice, fat, dramatic scene, ending in Alan throwing up the case because you're trop blonde.
I shan't do anything of the kind. I shall be very still and dignified and rather pale and delicately lovely.
Mr. Allen would like to have a word with Miss Gray. I'll take you along, miss.
So, what part of New Zealand do you come from, Miss Gray?
South Canterbury.
Ah, that's the South Island, miss.
Yes, it is.
I was in Mackenzie County 4 years ago. And it was in New Zealand that you met the Lampreys.
Oh, yes. I stayed with them for a while. I thought they were the most wonderful people I'd ever met.
How did Lord Charles enjoy being a sheep farmer? I gather it wasn't altogether a success.
I don't think he took it really seriously. It was more an adventure than anything else. They all belong here, really.
Now, there's one particular point that needs clarifying. The business of Lord Wotherwood calling out for his wife.
Well, we were all here in the dining room when he shouted the first time.
And the second?
It was just after Mike had said goodbye to Giggle. And after Lord Wotherwood called out, I heard the sound of the lift going down.
You certain of that?
Oh, yes. I was trying to find a cigarette, and then I heard the lift come up again. I was leaning out of the window looking at London when I heard Lady Violet make that terrible noise.
Thank you. That is very interesting. You've got a note of that, haven't you, Fox?
Oh, yes, Mr. Allen.
Tell me, do you find the Lampreys much changed since you saw them in New Zealand?
Not really. They all look a bit more grown up than I remembered.
They haven't grown up as far as their pockets are concerned.
Oh, they've never worried much about money. It doesn't mean anything to them.
But if they're faced with bankruptcy...
Well, something always happens to save them.
I gather this time they may not be so fortunate. You see, we know why his lordship was invited here. Do you happen to know anything of the discussion which took place between him and Lord Charles?
Oh, yes. I know all about it.
Oh, how's that, miss?
Well, it's all rather embarrassing. You see, we all wanted to know what was going on. There's a boarded up door between here and the drawing room. The one over there.
Oh, yes, so there is.
Well, we lay down on the floor and put our ears against it.
We?
Fred and Henry and me.
And the outcome of the discussion wasn't exactly favourable, I understand.
Oh, no, it wasn't like that at all. Lord Wotherwood agreed to rescue them.
He promised to help his brother out?
Oh, yes. I heard it quite clearly.
Well, thank you, Miss Grey. That'll be all. Oh,
thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, miss.
Courageous little liar, isn't she?
Ah, you could put it that way.
If there were the slightest chance of it being true, the Lampreys would have been out with the story the moment we mentioned the talk between the brothers. And mark my words, Br'er Fox, as soon as she tells them what she said, they'll be tumbling over themselves to come up with the same story.
Well, it won't be much good to them, I'm afraid. I was talking to one of the parlour maids. She's under notice, so she doesn't care what she says. And she heard the brothers through the pantry door, going at it hammer and tongs. Lord Wotherwood said he'd cut the Lampreys out of everything he could. And Lord Charles said, I wish there was some way I could cut you out for good.
Crikey.
Yeah, that's what I thought, sir.
Mr. Allen, I'm sorry to disturb your deliberations.
What can we do for you, Lord Charles?
It's Lady Wotherwood. She's insisting on going to her house in Brumman Street, and she's proving rather a handful, I'm afraid, threatening us with all manner of unseen forces. Even Tinkerton can't cope with her.
In that case, I think we should relax our restrictions a little. Lady Wotherwood should be in bed anyway, and I can easily arrange for a constable to keep an eye on Brummel Street. But perhaps it would be a good idea if one of you were to go with her ladyship.
Roberta Grey has already volunteered to accompany her.
Rather a youthful guardian.
My son Henry says he'll go with her. With your permission, of course.
Oh, certainly, Lord Charles. It's very late, and I don't see that we're going to get that much further tonight. We certainly need not keep Lady Catherine here any longer.
She has already gone, I'm afraid.
But how's that?
She disappeared as mysteriously as she arrived. It's rather a habit of hers.
Well, she wasn't exactly at the top of our list of suspects. We'll recommence first thing in the morning, but I'm afraid that you and the rest of your household will have to remain here.
That is understood, Mr. Allen. I'll make arrangements for my sister-in-law's departure. I'm sure everyone will be highly relieved.
Oh, hello. What's up? Are we all going home?
It's 2:30. I think we would all be better off in our beds.
Any idea who did it?
Well, I'm keeping my own counsel at present.
I'd lay 1,000 to 1 it's that old witch.
That would certainly be the popular choice.
What exactly do you mean by that?
It would let your charming, slippery friends off the hook.
I'd risk everything I've got in the world on the Lampreys being out of it. And Aunt Violet is capable of anything. She's stark staring mad.
Yes, I wouldn't deny that. But there is one thing that puzzles me. If she did do it, why does she want his body brought back to the house?
Adonai, Dalme, Lode, Tetragrammaton, Amaration, and all you spirits of the night, come to my aid, that my purpose may be fulfilled and kept hidden from all the eyes of my enemies. Atone, Dame, Tetragrammaton, Anaration, and all spirits of the night.
So, Br'er Fox, how did your game of happy families go this morning?
It turned out exactly as you predicted, sir. I've taken their statements, and they were all falling over themselves to follow that New Zealand girl's lead.
Gabriel gave me hell, of course, but in the end he said he would see me through, as usual.
Oh, no, Inspector. What could have given you that idea? Gabriel agreed to help us out. He always did in the end.
Happy families wasn't very wide of the mark. It's as if they were all playing some silly parlour game.
A pretty deadly game, if you ask me. Did you get anything out of that solicitor chap, sir?
Well, Mr. Ratisbon has been with the family for years, and understandably he's rather guarded on the subject of the Lampreys. But the basic situation seems clear enough. The Wotherwood legacy should see them safely out of their troubles, for the time being at least. But it was what he had to say about Lady Violet that really set me thinking. As the will stands, she comes into a very considerable fortune. But it seems that her husband was beginning to have his doubts as to what she was up to. In the words of Mr. Ratisbon, who is not, I imagine, given to making sensational statements, she was trying to perform upon Lord Wotherwood by some supernatural agency.
Bring about his death, do you mean?
He didn't elaborate. The point is that he had been instructed to meet Lord Wotherwood this morning to obtain his signature to a new will, by which her ladyship would receive practically nothing.
So that puts the old lady and the Lampreys on an equal footing, so to speak.
It rather looks like it.
And I found out something rather interesting about her ladyship's maid.
A Tinkerton.
Yes, sir. I've been having a quiet word with Master Michael's nanny.
Rather you than me, Br'er Fox.
Well, she's fairly got a knife into Miss Tinkerton. You know what those old girls are like? She kept on hinting that she was a very inquisitive sort of woman, very much in with her ladyship and against his lordship. She also said that Miss Tinkerton had been carrying on with the manservants and with that giggle, as she called him, in particular.
Yes, yes, one of the twins mentioned something of the sort, and I found out something rather unexpected about Mr. Giggle.
What's that, sir?
By the terms of Lord Wotherwood's will, he receives £300 per annum and a small freehold property near Deepacres.
Yeah, but that hardly means...
Even so, I think we should have another word with Giggle. Does rather put him in a different position. Ring up the Brummel Street house and get him over here, would you, Fox?
As I told you before, sir, I don't know a thing. I've got nothing to do with it. I never wished his lordship dead. His lordship always treated me fair enough.
Yes. Even to the extent of leaving you a nice little property, I understand.
I never asked for nothing. It was all along what my dad did for his lordship's father. You can't pin that on me. It's always the same. If it's gentry and working men in trouble, the police always go for the working men all the time. It's one of the evils...
That'll be quite enough of that, Giggle. This isn't Speaker's Corner.
I just want you to answer one or two simple questions. Sit down.
I'd assume stand.
Very well. You say you knew nothing about the tragedy until Miss Grey came down and told you. When you were going down the stairs, did the lift overtake you and go to the ground floor?
No, sir.
It didn't come down at all while you were on the stairs?
Look, what sort of said about the lift? It was up top. I never saw it go down.
Well, that is all I want you to tell me. How did his lordship get on with his servant?
Good enough.
Really?
I'm not going to get myself trapped.
What is the matter with you, man? The chief inspector asked you a plain question. Why can't you answer it?
I'm sorry, sir. I'm just all anyhow. His lordship was good enough with his staff. A bit sarcastic at times, but I never minded that.
Did any of the staff prefer her ladyship to his lordship?
They might have.
Miss Tinkerton, for instance?
She might have.
Is there an attachment between you and Miss Tinkerton?
What the hell's that got to do with anything?
Just answer the question, Giggle.
Well, we might have been a bit friendly-like.
Did Tinkerton take Lady Wotherwood's part against her husband?
She's very fond of her ladyship. Been with her a long time, sir.
So she... Did she sympathise with Lady Wotherwood when it came to any difference between them?
I suppose so, yeah.
Well, then there were differences between Lord and Lady Wotherwood.
Yes, sir.
But what did they quarrel about, do you know?
Her ladyship's got some funny ideas. She takes up with funny people.
Would you say that she was mentally normal?
Grace Tinkerton wouldn't like this said, but her ladyship was shut up for some time. Grace is very loyal to her.
All right. That's everything, I think.
Oh, thank God for that. I got so rattled thinking about it when Mr. Fox comes along.
Well,
and
that's all right, Giggle.
Thank you, sir.
Right, Bathgate, how do you fancy a little trip down to Kent?
What on earth for?
I want to take a look at Deepacres, the Wotherwood family home. Skim through a few letters and papers, that sort of thing. We'll leave Fox in charge here. I thought you might like to keep me company. We'll have to be quick about it, though. I want to be back in town by this evening.
So, are you two having a lovely time in Brummel Street, among all the vampires and warlocks?
Perfectly frightful. There's no electric light in half the rooms, and everybody has to stumble about by candlelight.
It's like being trapped in a very nasty fairy tale. There are stuffed bears everywhere and some seriously spooky pictures.
I think Mummy said that the house is supposed to come to us when Aunt Bee finally flies off on her broomstick.
God forbid. I wouldn't be too sure. There are bound to be death duties.
What are death duties?
I don't exactly know, but there may not be that much money coming to us, particularly after all the debts have been paid off.
Just enough for learned counsel to defend one of us.
Oh, you would think of that.
Well, let's face it, one of us may have...
You don't have to worry, Frid. You haven't even been... question.
I can't understand it. Is there something wrong with me, do you think?
I'd no idea that Deep Acres was as grand as all this. Deer Park, private golf course. It's funny to think of the Lampreys coming home to this sort of roost.
I suppose Lord Charles was born here.
Yes, he was. Rather a terrific place, isn't it?
Well, I imagine the Lampreys will make short work of it, if it all comes to them. There are a couple of men with cameras prowling about outside, but... what the devil are they up to?
Oh, I asked them to come down here. A bit of local colour for my piece on Gabriel's murder.
Yeah, that sort of thing might go very well with pictures of your Lamprey chums being carted off in a police van.
I'm certain it will never come to that. Well, what do you want me to do? Anything in particular you'd like me to investigate?
Yes, I'd like you to take a look around and see if you can come across any evidence of her ladyship's witchy activities. I'm going to settle down in the library and take a look through Gabriel's desk.
Right. I'll get one of the servants to show me where her rooms are.
Dear Gabriel, you must be pretty sick of getting letters like this. But I really have come rather cropper over this sheep farming caper.
Find anything of interest?
Oh, nothing's going to make the front page of your evening screecher. Begging letters from Lord Charles. Sometimes he struck lucky, but mostly he didn't. Oh, and I've discovered something about that property that's been left to giggle. What's that you've got there?
I thought you might like to take a look at it. I found it at the back of a drawer in his lordship's room. It's very nasty, whatever it is.
A wax doll. Dressed up, I fancy, to look like Lord Wotherwood.
Someone's been trying to melt the feet.
Her ladyship trying her hand at a little sympathetic magic, I fancy.
Well, it didn't work.
At least she didn't stick a pin in his eye.
And I came across a scrap of paper. She'd been copying a passage out of a book called the Compendium Maleficarum, instructions for making something called a main de gloire.
So that's why she wanted the body back.
What on earth are you talking about?
Well, they'll be returning the late Lord Wotherwood to Brummell Street at 9 o'clock this evening, Bathgate. Well, we've got to get back straight away.
Henry! Henry! Oh. Wake up! Wake up, please!
What? Roberta, what's the matter?
It's Lady Wotherwood. I saw a light going past the door. She's gone up the stairs to that room. The one where they put Lord Wotherwood. And I can't get any of the lights to come on.
I'll go and see what she's up to. You'd better go back to your room.
No, I don't want to be left on my own. I'm coming with you.
The door won't open. She's locked herself in there with him.
What on earth is she doing?
Well, it sounds as if she's sawing through something.
I don't care for this at all.
Oh, where's the nurse anyway? She's supposed to be keeping an eye on her.
She's asleep. I just couldn't wake her.
Let's go and find the constable. He's just outside the front door.
We're slowing down again. I do believe this train is going to stop at every station between here and London.
If only the police car hadn't had that blasted puncture.
I've never known you so jumpy.
I'm worried about that crazy woman. God knows what she might have got up to by now.
Where's my lady? She's not in her room. I can't find her anywhere.
Well, she was in the room where they put Lord Wotherwood.
Well, she's not there now.
We can't wake the nurse and we can't find the constable anywhere.
That's Lady Wotherwood.
I only hope that's the police.
I must go to my lady.
What the hell's going on? Why are all the lights out? Where is everybody?
The fuse must have blown, and I think the nurse has been drugged.
Rabbit-o.
And that's Lady Wotherwood.
Where is Constable Bailey?
We can't find him.
I had a call from Mr. Allen. He and Mr. Bathgate are at Charing Cross and on their way over.
You must come! You must come at once! It's my lady! She's murdered, Giggle! She's gone completely out of her mind.
I've always feared this might happen. Can we get that razor away from her?
Now, leave it to me.
Come on, my lady. You don't want to be playing with things like that. Come on. Hand it over. That's the way.
She's got something in her left hand. Good God.
That's horrible. That must have been what we heard. She's cut off Lord Wotherwood's hand.
The hand of glory.
Oh, no.
What about poor Giggle?
His throat's been slashed, poor devil.
She killed him. She killed him.
The doctor's given her ladyship an injection, sir. She's much quieter now.
Get him to ring up the nursing home, will you, Fox? The sooner she's out of here, the better.
That's already been taken care of. What should I do about Miss Tinkerton? She keeps asking to see her ladyship.
Let her stay where she is. No one's to leave the house. I'm going to take a look at his lordship. You can come with us, Bathgate, if you promise not to be sick, and then we'll all meet together in the drawing room.
Very well, sir. I'll tell Mr. Henry and Miss Roberta.
What sort of epitaph can be written for the late Lord Wotherwood? Killed by cupidity and mutilated in the interests of black magic?
Oh, dear old Giggle, what a terrible way to go.
I imagine that if he'd been asked, he'd have preferred it.
Preferred it to what?
To the big drop.
What?
Good God, is Giggle our murderer? But I thought he wasn't even in the building when it happened.
It was Miss Grey who gave me the vital clue.
Me? What did I say?
That after Lord Wotherwood had called out for his wife the second time, you heard the lift go down and then come up again.
You mean there was a trip down and up that wasn't accounted for?
But it can't have gone all the way down. The commissionaire said that the lift didn't come down to the hall until your brother brought it down with Lord and Lady Wotherwood in it. And even then it didn't reach the ground floor because her ladyship started screaming and the lift went back up again.
So the only explanation was that the trip that Miss Grey heard must have stopped at one of the other floors. So what actually happened was that Giggle walked down to the second floor and summoned the lift down, with Lord Wotherwood sitting in it. When it arrived, he slipped in, rammed the skewer into Wotherwood's eye, and sent the lift back up again. Then he walked on down as if nothing had happened.
But what possible reason could he have had for killing his master?
Well, to start with, there was his legacy, £300 a year, and the property.
Oh, but surely that isn't any...
While we were at Deepacres, I discovered that there are plans to build a new railway line which will run directly across Giggle's piece of property. He would have received a very tidy sum by way of compensation.
And did Aunt V know that Giggle was the murderer? Is that why she killed him?
She didn't kill him. The razor was in her hand, but she didn't kill him.
Then who did?
You had a look at the corpse, Fox?
Yes, sir.
So what sort of murderer could inflict that sort of injury from behind the head of a victim lying on his right side in a bed by the left-hand wall of a room?
A left-handed murderer, Mr. Allen.
So, who?
Tinkerton, Bathgate. Tinkerton.
Tinkerton?
She was the Lady Macbeth of the Enterprise. Oh. She knew, I'm certain, that Wotherwood was going to cut his wife out of the will, and that put her own very considerable expectations from her ladyship in jeopardy. And, I fancy, she knew about the new railway as well. She must have told Giggle that he had to act fast before Wotherwood got to hear of it and changed his mind. He was very stupid and easily manipulated by a woman like her. I imagine it was she who devised the business of the lift.
But in that case, why did she kill him?
Because he'd lost his nerve. Gone to pieces completely. He was sweating like a pig the last time Fox and I talked to him, and he came close to blurting out the whole thing. And when they got back here to Brummel Street, Tinkerton saw the state he was in and knew that he was too dangerous. She couldn't afford to take the risk.
But none of this explains why that crazy woman cut off her husband's hand.
Well, Lady Wotherwood, as we all know, is obsessed with the occult. So obsessed that she'd paid for her enthusiasm with what little remained of her wits. As she'd read about the magical powers of the severed hand of a man who'd been hanged or met a violent death, and she had a corpse under her own roof, and the opportunity to carry out this very unpleasant deed.
It's horrible. It's disgusting.
Tinkerton had always been deeply involved in her mistress's magical experiments. That scrap of paper you found at Deepacres, Bathgate, was not in her ladyship's writing, and I suspect it was copied out by Tinkerton. She realized that she could make it appear that Lady Wotherwood had murdered Giggle.
But what was the hand actually supposed to do?
To put all the inhabitants of the house into a deep sleep or deprive them of all motion.
Be as the dead for the dead man's sake, as the poet puts it.
Well, it didn't have much effect on us.
Oh, well, we couldn't wake the nurse.
And Constable Bailey was in a corner of the kitchen, dead to the world, as you might say.
You don't mean that the thing actually worked?
No, Bathgate. I think you'll find that Tinkerton has slipped a morphia tablet into their tea. But it was enough to convince Lady Wotherwood.
I suppose that was why she felt free to scream out her magical gobbledygook at the top of her voice.
And Tinkerton told her to go to the room at the end of the corridor where the body of Giggle was lying. She may even have persuaded her that the Little Master required a sacrifice.
Who on earth is the Little Master?
The devil, Bathgate. By the time her ladyship had found Giggle stretched out on the bed in the candlelight with his throat cut and had picked up the razor, she probably had no idea whether she'd murdered him or not. She's been taken into a private nursing home. I fear she may never recover her wits. But perhaps that's just as well.
How on earth am I to explain any of this to my readers?
Stick to the plain facts. After all, if you take away all the witchy trappings, it's really a simple story of greed. Tinkerton pushed Giggle into murdering his master because she reckoned they had a lot to lose if Lord Wotherwood altered his will. And then she had to kill Giggle to shut him up. And you should be grateful that your charming friends escaped unscathed.
Henry's talking about getting a job.
Could that have anything to do with the little New Zealander?
Everything to do with it, I should think.
She's a courageous little party.
The Lampreys are going to be quite rich. Perhaps they'll turn over a new leaf now and become quite miserly.
That would be too much to hope for, Bathgate. I just hope that the whole experience will be a salutary lesson to them.
Well, that's all over, thank goodness. And now I think we deserve a little rest. Why don't we creep away somewhere for a holiday, somewhere rather unsmart where we could bathe and blow away the horrors and have a tiny bit of mild gambling at night.
How about Monte Carlo? That's very unsmart nowadays.
Oh, yes, somewhere quite dull and cheap. After all, when you think of what we've been through, you're bound to agree that we must have some fun.
In A Surfeit of Lampreys by Niall Marsh, Chief Detective Inspector Allen was played by Jeremy Clyde. Detective Inspector Fox, John Baddeley. Nigel Bathgate, Nick Waring. Roberta Gray, Helen Longworth. Lord Wotherwood and Giggle, Christopher Godwin. Lady Wotherwood, Miriam Carlin. Lord Charles Lamprey, Charles Kay. Lady Lamprey, Thelma Barlow. Lady Catherine Lode, Kathleen Helm. Henry, Jonathan Forbes. Frieda, Sarah Paul. Stephen, Peter Darney. Colin, Carl Prekop. Tinkerton, Marlene Sidaway. A Surfeit of Lampreys was dramatized for radio by Michael Bakewell and directed by Enid Williams.